Welcome back. I'm so glad that you're here with me this morning. We're in our second week of the study of Abraham, and I'm just excited to be here, and I hope that you are too. Before we pray today, I want us to begin by thinking through the chapters we studied from week two. It was titled, To Be Blessed is to Do It God's Way. To quickly scan through the verses we studied this week, what were some of the things that we learned? Chapter 15, God repeated his promise to Abram, and Abram believed the Lord. He was counted as righteous because of this act of belief. Next, in chapter 16, we studied that Abram and Sarah took matters into their own hands. Yeah, the promise of the Lord was believed, but Sarah decided that the baby could come from her maidservant. Hagar did conceive, and in the process of this, relationships were broken and strained. A wonderful principle was seen through this day's study questions, and that is that great pain can come by not waiting on the Lord and taking matters into our own hands. We then studied the next couple of days how God once again promised Abraham a son, and this time he told him that his name would be Isaac. God also allowed Sarah to hear conversations and hear from the Lord that she would bear a son. And then finally, on our last day of questions, we studied that Sarah gave birth to a son whose name was Isaac. God fulfilled the promise. He did what he said he would do, and he was seen as faithful. And through the entire process, Abraham and Sarah's faith was not only stretched, but it was strengthened. So as we begin, I want to ask you, what is God asking you to do today that seems impossible? Are you believing in his plan for your life, or are you trying to alter the plan in some way? And if so, why? Let's pray. Dear Father, how we love you, and we thank you for having a desire for us to have a relationship with you. Teach us this morning, dear Father. I pray for each one of our hearts. I think we've all been in positions, dear Father, where we've tried to alter the plan. We believe in you, dear Father, but yet we don't believe in ourselves. And so instead we try to find other ways to do it because it just seems like there's no way. But you teach us, as you did in this scripture, that all things are possible with you, dear Father. I pray that we will believe that and that we will act upon that today. Quieten our hearts this morning, dear Father. Open our eyes, our heart, and our ears to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. To be blessed is to do it God's way. In our time together, let's look at one specific set of verses and hear what God has to share with us today. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Genesis 18. We're going to just look at verses 11 through 15. And I'm reading from the NIV. Let's read this together. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son.'" Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But God said, "Yes, you did laugh." Is anything too hard for the Lord? God had already spoken to Abraham twice about his heir. Sarah wanted the maidservant Hagar to have a child with Abraham, which happened. And then there was this tension between the three of them. Hagar ran away, but then the Lord went after her, and she returned to Sarah and Abraham and had a son whose name was Ishmael. Okay, so all of this has happened up until this point, and God comes back to Abraham, and he repeats his promise. But then God goes a step further and allows Sarah to hear a portion of the conversation. She now hears for herself that God has spoken of her having a child. Actually, there's now a timeline. Sarah will not only have a child, but she'll have a son. And it'll be about this time next year that she gives birth to him. In hearing this, Sarah laughs to herself. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. Sarah is around 90 years old when this is taking place. And by 90, a woman's body has completely died to any thoughts of bearing a child. She has gone through menopause. She has no longer ovulating powers, and her reproductive system, it has closed shop. There is absolutely no way possible for her to bear a child. Romans 4:19 says that her womb was dead. So please understand that what God is saying is that He will basically resurrect her womb. He'll bring it back to life, make all the parts work and function again. He will bring her womb back to life, and in 12 months, she will birth a son. This is nothing less than a miracle that will take place. It is completely incomprehensible for any of us. Maybe you have never been able to have children, or you have a dear friend who you've prayed for in this situation. If you've never had a child, possibly you've gone from doctor to specialist to internist. You've been to other states and you've spent hours and hours of personal research. You've prayed for years to have a child and you've had others pray with you. And you've spent thousands of dollars, but you have no child. That's where Sarah's mind is at this time. She has completely taken the thought of mothering her own child out of her mind. Not only did she do everything nutritionally from a diet perspective, she probably had a stress-free lifestyle regimen. She tried all the advice that was given to her. Her body was now at the age where it was just too late. And now God tells her, "Yes, Sarah, you will have a child." Her reaction is quite beautiful, I think. It doesn't sound bitter, but just the thought of how funny will that be? At my age, birthing a child and nurturing him, the message says it like this: an old woman like me get pregnant with this old man of a husband? But God challenges Sarah, thinking, is anything too hard for the Lord? What man sees as impossible, God sees as possible. I want to spend the remainder of our time looking at the word possible. If you have a piece of paper, we're going to make it into an acronym. So write on the side, on the left-hand side, down the side of the page, P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E. Just write that down, actually the left-hand side of your page. Possibilities are turned into opportunities despite our shortcomings, sinfulness, or inabilities. If we only believe in God and live out the plans He created for us, we will impact lives for eternal purposes. P. It is for possibilities. It means something that is capable of happening. There is a saying that possibilities for your life are never ending. Have you ever been seen as one with potential? In Abraham's case, the possibilities did seem endless. God had promised to make him into a great nation, to be provided for, to have a son. It was as if Abraham was starting with a clean slate. He left everything behind, and for some of us, starting over, that really looks good, doesn't it? The sky was the limit for Abraham. He was moving into territory, God's territory, and he was doing life in a new way. He had the potential of being a great leader and making a positive impact on thousands of lives. Yet the possibility of having a son was hard for Abraham and Sarah to believe. They even tried to alter God's plan by having a son through their maidservant, Hagar. But God said, "No, you must realize that all things are possible through me, and you will have a son the way I've promised. And that is to have one between you, Abraham, and your wife, Sarah." We do that, don't we? We try to alter the direction that God is taking us ever so slightly, thinking it won't matter as long as the final outcome is the same. But what we miss are the blessings and the new ways we see God as He works things out. He wants to do magnificent things in our life, especially those things that look like they could never happen, so that people will see that it was Him who did it. There's no answer when God is doing extraordinary things in the lives of ordinary people. I wonder about you today. Have you ever been seen as one with potential? One with great possibility? For many of you, I believe the thought of great possibilities in your future is a dream that has died. Maybe it's for some of the same reasons we see with Sarah in our lesson this week. Growing older and thinking that your time has come and gone. Having a tired body that feels dead because of stress. You're left with absolutely no energy. Or the feeling of doubt. You see no hope in making changes at this time in your life. Or maybe it's even deeper. You've never been loved. No one has ever believed in you. Or the consequences of your past mistakes have left you hopeless. You may think, how can there be great potential in a person like me? Well, with God, all things are possible. There can be great possibilities for you. Allow God to work in your life and begin to see what He has in store for you. Psalm 25:4 and 5 says, show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. The letter O is next, and it stands for opportunities. It is a chance for progress or advancement. I remember when I was on my 16th birthday, I was just getting ready to turn 16, and my dad was a commercial pilot, and growing up, I was often at the airport with him many times on the weekends. And he taught people to fly. I watched my dad as he took off and landed his airplane over and over again with student pilots. Those men and women spent hours studying books and taking lessons so they could learn how to fly and become a pilot. My dad always told me that I could get my solo license when I was 16. It would be my first step in becoming a pilot. His gift to me was to teach me how to fly. I had dreamed of having a pink airplane. I did, pink. But I missed my opportunity. I was too afraid. I just knew that I'd get up in the air and not be able to land. I had nightmares of wrecking the plane when I came in for a landing. My dad continued telling me to trust him. He'd be there with me, and he'd never let something like that happen. He also tried to explain to me that landing the airplane didn't happen on my first lesson. Over time, as I learned and became comfortable with flying, then I'd begin to learn how to land. But his words of encouragement went into deaf ears, and I never learned. I missed the blessings of a fabulous opportunity, and there's no telling where my future could have taken me. We've seen opportunities with Abraham and Sarah as well. A big opportunity they took was to leave their home, their friends, and their business to go to a place that God would show them. God said, trust me, and they did. But in this week's lesson, we see them miss opportunities for blessing by taking matters into their own hands. But see this if you see nothing else today. God continued to give them opportunities to trust Him, to be a part of His miracle, to learn through their experiences. He never gave up on them. Their greatest opportunity as a couple was to carry and give birth to their only son. What opportunity does God give you today? Are you doubtful? Are you giving excuses as to why it won't work? Do you daydream about the opportunity and see all that it could come from, and yet something is holding you back? Trust in God. With God, all things are possible. What are you afraid of? Psalm 56:3 says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, Lord. Step out there and take hold of the opportunities God has placed before you today. Like my dad tried to tell me, it's not all going to happen in the first lesson. God will give you opportunities that seem overwhelming, but you're going to take baby steps to get there. We're going to talk about the next three letters together, just because we're short on time, and truly they do all three go together. The letters S, S, and I. Shortcomings, sinfulness and inabilities. A shortcoming is a flaw. It's a weakness or defect. An inability is defined as lacking power or someone without skill. And in the word sinfulness, it just means that you are full of sin. I think these three things are what keep us from believing that all things are possible with God. I mean, I know for me that when God called me into the ministry, I had a long list of my flaws, the areas where I had no skills. And I always argued, but Lord, how can you use me? I struggle with sin and my past. My past, Lord, it is so full of wrong choices. How could you ever want to give me the opportunity to impact lives for your glory? I can't do what you're asking of me. It's just too big, Lord. But you know what? God looks past the flaws and defects, and He looks straight into the heart. He sees potential in every one of His children. He created every one of us, and He knows far better than we what can be done in each one of our lives if He's behind it. And look at Abraham, just what we've learned so far. He had some issues of his own. He wasn't a believer in God before he was called out. He and his family, actually, they worshiped the moon god. But when God called Abraham and he said yes and he left everything else behind, he became a new believer. And when he was originally called by God, he went as far as Haran and he stopped. It was after his father died that God called him again, this time leaving for good and going where God led. But in the beginning, we see hesitation with Abraham. Did he hesitate to follow God because he saw his own flaws, his own unworthiness? And the greatest fact we know of him this far is that he wasn't able to have a child with Sarah. It doesn't matter how successful you are or what a great leader you have been. We see Abraham with great courage and determination, and we see from the little that we've studied, but he couldn't do this one thing. Really, this is the one thing he desired the most. Did he see this as a weakness in his body, and did he see himself as flawed? Is that why he stopped? From the standpoint of sinfulness, I think we can all check that off as describing ourselves. As we said, we have all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. But Christ came to save you and to save me from our sins. That's our past, our present, and our future sins. We've been atoned for. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So what about you? What areas in your life are you placing an X by? Because you see all your shortcomings and your inabilities. Or maybe you cannot get past the sins of your past. You see yourself as so unworthy. Isaiah 43:18, we spoke of this in our last lesson together. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. God is ready to walk with you. He has created you to do good work. Don't allow doubt to crowd your thinking, but instead anticipate what He has for your future. And then B, the letter B is for believe. Believe in God. We are told in Genesis 15:5, we studied it this week, that Abraham believed the Lord. The Lord told Abraham that his offspring would be greater than the stars in the sky, and Abraham believed. John 20, verse 31, it says, the accounts of Christ were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. All things are possible with God. But you and I, we must come to a place that we believe that God is who He says He is and that He will do what He says He'll do. Then we must act on that belief. We must go into our days believing. That's why I think it's so important to study God's Word. By studying, you get to know the Lord. And through prayer, you are able to give your concerns, your pains, your everything to Him and allow Him to help you through. The stronger we build our relationship with the Lord through Bible study, prayer, our experiences, the easier it will be to believe. It's a process. You are walking with the Lord daily. And we see that with Abraham. The more he came to know God, the more he saw God is faithful. Do you believe? Do you believe God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he'll do? Then what is holding you back? What is keeping you from taking the opportunities that God has placed before you and becoming the person that God created you to be? The next letter is L, and it stands for live out. Live out the plans that God has created for you. As we continue to study Abraham, we will see how he lived out the plans that God had for him. He believed in God. He experienced God. And he lived out his life by taking opportunities and being used for the future of all mankind. Are you living out God's plan for your life? Do you live every day knowing that God created you and that he has a purpose for your life? You are God's workmanship, created to do good works, which God has prepared for you. Abraham lived out his life with the Lord. Magnificent things happened once he came to know God. And he was 75 years old. Just think what all is possible for you and me in our lifetime with the Lord. 1 Peter 4:1 says from the Message, "Since Jesus went through everything you are going through and more, learn to think like him. Live out your days free to pursue what God wants." What God wants for you is better than anything you could ever dream or imagine. Do you believe it? One of the privileges I have as a mom is to pray with my kids. I spend time with them one-on-one during that time, and I really just want to be their cheerleader. I want to encourage them and to let them know that they are loved. And my husband, Craig, he and I have always told our children that they were created with specific gifts and talents, and that God is going to use them in mighty ways through those gifts. We've always let them know that they're made with purpose. But recently, I prayed very specifically for one of my children. One of my daughters has the wonderful gift of gab. She loves to talk. When she was only about 14 months old, the teachers in her preschool, they would bring other adults to her room to listen to her talk. I'm not kidding. Because she talked so well for her age and she always had something to say, it was amazing. Anyway, in my personal time with the Lord, I had been praying specifically about that gift. I'd really gotten serious about her gift. It was the gift of communication. I prayed that God would use this gift in great ways for his glory. And then one night when I was praying with her, I just allowed her to hear the prayer that I had been praying. I did this because I wanted to model for her how to pray about her future opportunities for the Lord. That it's just like you and me. It's like talking with each other and it can be about anything. And I wanted her to look at all the possibilities that there were with God. I'm sharing this with you because I want you to be able to see the blessing of prayer. And I wanted her to be able to see the blessing of prayer. No, God hasn't answered the prayer, but her mind and her heart, man, they have been so open to new opportunities. Before this time, she had never even thought of her talking as being anything more than just talk. Now she sees it as a tool. A beautiful gift that God has given her to open numerous opportunities to share her faith with others, to encourage others. It has opened her heart to believe that she can live out what God created and purposed for her, and she anticipates what he might show her. That's what I want for you. I want you to see all the things that are possible in your life. Don't second guess the Lord. But instead, look for what he has for your future. Just as we studied in this week's lesson of Sarah's giving birth to Isaac, God wants to birth something in you. Don't look at all the negatives, but instead prayerfully consider what he's placed on your heart and begin to see the possibilities. And the last letter is E, and it stands for eternal purposes. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. In 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. Once we have come to know Christ and have built a relationship with him, we will move from an inward examination to an outward proclamation. How do you experience God? How do you have that relationship with the Lord? Well, first you must confess him as Lord. You see yourself as a sinner and in need of a Savior. Christ is the only way to God. And if we believe and receive him as Lord, we become a child of God. John 1:12 says, to all who receive him and to those who believe in his name, they have the right to become children of God. We then come to know God by experiencing him in our life. Through studying the Bible, prayer, spending time with other believers, we experience him through circumstances in our lives. As these things begin to take place, we will begin to talk about what God is doing in our life to those around us. Our testimony will begin to impact lives for Christ. I've always heard the saying that no one can take your testimony away, meaning that no one can take away the experiences in your life and how God has worked in and through those circumstances to make you who you are today. That is powerful. So as God works on you internally and begins to change your heart, those things will begin to be seen externally through your words and through the way that you deal with your life. And from that, lives will be impacted for Christ. We will see that even more as we continue to study Abraham. Through God, all things are possible. We saw it in our questions this week, and my prayer is that you are seeing it in your life. POSSIBLE. Possibilities are turned into opportunities despite our shortcomings, sinfulness, or inabilities. If we will only believe in God and live out the plans he has created for us, we will impact lives for eternal purposes. I want to close by reading from the book of Hebrews. It's in the New Testament. And it comes from chapters 11 and 12. Listen, and then we'll be done. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home into the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered God faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so entangles, and let us run the perseverance, the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray for each one of us that we truly believe that all things are possible with you. You have great and mighty things for each one of us, dear Father, that you desire for us to fulfill, to experience. You so desire for us to work with you, to partner with you, dear Father, in ministry. And I pray for each one of us that we will see that opportunity, that we will cling to that, and that we will come to know you, dear Father, so that we can be used by you in mighty ways. Go with each one of us this week as we go out and do your will, dear Father. I pray for us as we study your word together this week in the questions. Open up times, dear Father, for us to spend time with you. We love you so much, and I pray, dear Father, that lives are being impacted for you. In Jesus' name, amen.